This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. We're starting something special on the show today. For the next few weeks, we're devoting Marketplace Money to the basics. Concepts like banking, investing, saving, and credit. I've got questions about it. I know you've got questions. So this week, how we interact with money.
Money, 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 money. Now everything is just money this, money that.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Yo, you gotta get your money back quick from people because people get used to owing you money.
It's funny because I'm barely learning the value of a dollar. You know what I mean? Like back then, I'll spend it on whatever. I didn't care. Even if I didn't need it, I bought it.
This look like money? Money be green.
My son is 2.5 years old. He'll crumble up a dollar and I'll just let him hold it in his hand to the point where he loses it. It means absolutely nothing to me anymore.
Money. It's everywhere. Music, movies, comedies, it's even got nicknames like Bucks, Cash, Benjamins. But if you, as that father just said, ball up that dollar, stare at it until it loses its meaning, you realize something. Money's just paper. It has value because you believe it does, and I believe it does. But why? Why do we believe in money? Adam Waits is a psychologist and assistant professor of management at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
So let's start with the really big question here, and that is, what is money?
Well, as far as I can tell, money is a shared illusion, just like many other things that we have. I think we have a lot of beliefs in various systems, whether it's the universe or government or organized religion, that really serve more of an existential function to give us a sense that there's some order in the world.
Now, are we all just sort of crazy or delusional to assign so much value to a piece of paper?
I don't think so, because I think money has been fairly useful for the past 2,500 years or so. It seems to be a useful system regardless of whether or not we are all crazy and this is just some illusion.
Now, how do we keep believing it? I mean, how come this hasn't fallen apart? It seems like yes, the dollar bills in my pocket don't have value in and of themselves. Why hasn't there been a moment where like, yeah, this doesn't work?
Well, I mean, when you ask that question, I sort of wonder why I haven't lost faith myself. When I was a child, you know, money was very present. It was very visible. It was something you put in a piggy bank. It's something that you see and you store and you it's very visceral. But when I now that I'm older, I never see money. It gets deducted. It gets automatically deposited. It's stored on a card, and it's this invisible force. But I think, like I was saying, it provides this sense that there's some order and there's some way of measuring the universe. I think it makes things nicely quantifiable, which you know, gives us a sense that we're living in a just and meaningful society.
How does sort of believing in this illusion in the value of money change the way we value and think about things and experiences?
So this is where things get really interesting. In psychology, there's been a lot of research on what are the psychological effects of money, and not just owning money, but the idea of money. And money, it turns out, has very profound psychological effects. It makes us feel more independent. It makes us feel more self-sufficient. And what that does at times is it makes us become more selfish and less altruistic toward others. The other thing that money does is that it inherently changes the nature of social relationships. So money can actually lead us to view social relationships in sort of free market terms, that people are sort of worth more or less than others. And what a lot of this research has shown is that putting social relationships or things that typically don't have a monetary value in sort of monetary terms, what it does is it corrupts those things.
That's
You're basically putting a secular value on something that is considered to be sacred, so a friendship, a marriage. This occurs in the domain of health, in the domain of voting, in the domain of religion as well. When you put a dollar amount on things that we're used to not assigning a dollar amount to, this completely changes the game and leads us to think of these things more in terms of their market value than their sort of natural moral or social worth.
You've thought a lot about money. What do you think the future of money looks like?
So philosopher Michael Sandel has written about this extensively in a book that came out last year called What Money Can't Buy. And the basic argument of the book is that money and markets are now pervading areas of our lives that previously were not governed by money and markets. So he gives a number of examples, such as you can pay for the right to hunt an endangered species in Africa. You can pay for access to your doctor's cell phone number. You can pay for access to a carpool lane, even if you're a solo driver. And what this does is it exacerbates inequality, because the argument is that, you know, previously the benefit of being rich is that you could buy a yacht. Now the benefit of being rich is that you can have access to things and influence over things that people without money simply don't have access to. So I think as markets continue to pervade our life, we're going to have to deal with the effects of money on issues of fairness and issues of corruption.
Psychologist Adam Waitz is an assistant professor of management and organizations at Northwestern University. Adam, thanks so much.
Thank you.